What's up, Hawk fans? Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Hawk Talk Podcast. I'm Ty Hudson, and I just wanted to say, hey, thank you for taking the time to listen to what Jacob, Porter, and myself have to say about the Razorbacks. You know, the ups, the downs, and most of the things in between. Hopefully you enjoy the content. If you do, maybe you could give us some of that star power over on iTunes or wherever you listen to the show. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. And, oh yeah, go Hogs. Yo, what's going on, Arkansas Razorback fans? Welcome to the Hog Talk Podcast, episode 61. Hope you guys are doing great. Thanks for downloading with me today. None other than Mr. Jacob Scott Davis. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Doing good. How about yourself?
Well, I was up super late, so I'm really tired. I was up till, of course, the game tip-off last night with South Carolina and Arkansas started at 7:30. And then I did the post-game reaction, which was really just me ranting, going on a rampage. And everyone there we were all kind of reacting together there. It's always a lot of fun over on the Pictorial Network on those post-game shows. And then after that, I had to record the Pictorial Pod Thirsty Thursday, and that went up today. And then tonight we're recording this, so I'm ready to kind of hit the hay tonight, man. I'm exhausted. I'm kind of tired.
Oh, blame me, dude.
What?
I got off early. Yeah, I got off early today, so it feels good to get off on time sometimes.
Yeah.
And be able to do secondary things that I love.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hear you. It's always fun doing these. I love it too that you're able to do this tonight because of what happened last night, because of this Arkansas South Carolina game. The first thing I thought after the show was, like, I cannot wait to get on air and talk with Jacob about this game. Like, I'm really excited about it. I refrain myself from texting you guys, and I try my best to not, because I want your reaction raw, live, in here, where we can record it and talk about it, and people get their raw reaction from us. So that's why I try to, like, keep it all for this show, and especially when you and Porter both are able to come on and we can all react to it together. So staying with the game, Arkansas and South Carolina, obviously the Hogs drop a close one at home to the Gamecocks, who are starting to play a little bit better ball. They've got some great wins on the year, and they've also got some head-scratching losses, talking about SC, talking about the Gamecocks. But they came into Bud Walton last night, Jacob, and they snuck out a win. Just tell me what you think. What you thought of last night?
Well, it's a typical Frank Martin coach team. You go back, like I said, on Thursday's show, Sunday's show when we were previewing this game. It's a typical Frank Martin team. When he was at Kansas State, yeah, you had some head-scratching losses there. And then you win games that you're like, well, that's weird. Jacob Pullen, you had one of the best players multiple times there at Kansas State, and he lose some games he should, and win some games he wins them. And then you're like, how in the world did you win this game? You beat Oklahoma, but you lose to Northwestern State. Say them for an example, and you're just thinking, wow. And here he is. He loses some weird games during non-conference play, and here he is beating Arkansas on the road, beats Kentucky at home. I mean, it's typical Frank Martin stuff. But, Arkansas shot 39 free throws, and I will say they made 26 of them. Obviously, it wasn't enough to win the ball game. The technical foul over on the sideline and Musselman calling them out after the post game.
Yeah.
You know, you hope you don't have to deal with that again. That's another spot where you think, okay, if you take those 2 points away, you go to overtime. You make two of your free throws and not have a technical foul. There you go. You win the ball game. There were several plays there, especially the one down low. Isaiah Joe was going after a rebound, and their big man who had only been scoring like 4 points a game comes down and basically shoves Joe out of bounds, and it's a turnover. And they call it out on Arkansas, and and South Carolina retains the possession. And then you go down the sideline, Mason Jones on a steal and a turnover, and goes the other way. South Carolina forces him out of bounds into the table. That's a foul. Didn't get called. South Carolina. South Carolina gets the ball back. Adriel Bailey falls to the ground and gets called for tripping Kolzar. And you're thinking, what the heck? He fell down.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. He fell down. And you're going to call a foul on that? Two shots on the other side? Two more free. I don't understand what's going on when you allow your teams to be physical in the first half, but in the second half, you called 37 fouls.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely insane. They would keep whistling over and over and over again.
I wanted Porter on, and I know he's listening to this, waiting on it. I know he's just grinning ear to ear. But his take on it is that, you know, you had a bunch of shots at the free throw line. Arkansas did have more shots. I mean, he's right. They had 40 attempts at the free throw line to South Carolina's 33. First off, that's ridiculous. That is an obscene amount of shots. That's an obscene amount of foul calls. And my point is, yeah, first off, they should have hit the shots. But Porter's belief is that you got to adjust to the game. You got to make your shots. And he's not wrong. But to me, I felt like it completely slowed down and took both these teams completely out of rhythm because the officiating, I mean, these officials were calling everything under the roof. And you don't really, what did we really learn about these two teams last night? When you have that amount of foul calls, neither one of these teams were ever able to get in any kind of rhythm. There's no flow because at the other end of the court, there's a foul. Now, yeah, Arkansas got some home cooking. They did. They got some questionable calls. There were a couple of calls where it was like, okay, they probably didn't have to. You know, but that's home cooking. Everyone gets a little bit of that. But the fact that South Carolina got 33 free throw attempts and Arkansas got 40 free throw attempts, shots, that just speaks volumes to how poorly I think officiated this game really was. Now, I do know Matt Zimmerman said that this is kind of typical of South Carolina. They force you. There's going to be a lot of fouls. And again, yeah. Frank Martin, that's his identity. He loves to play physical. And this is why I was so concerned about this game earlier in the year, because Frank Martin, I know he doesn't have the greatest postseason. I know his resume isn't great at South Carolina in postseason play. He did have one fantastic year at South Carolina. But this is the identity of his teams. This is the DNA of his teams. They play physical. I think it completely disrupted the flow of this game. Arkansas was unable to get anything going. Once they got within 2 or 3 points, or even within a point, they'd get hit up with some ridiculous foul call, like you said, getting, you know, the trip call there, and not to mention how about throwing these guys out of bounds? Okay, maybe that's – all right, not throwing, but body bumping these guys out of bounds. I swear 9 times out of 10, that's a foul, and it's going to get called. Yeah. Neither time. I think it was – you mentioned it. I think it was Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones. So – and there were some other calls there that were just ridiculous and no calls. Times where it was like, okay, well, if you're going to continue to blow the whistle here – Why not call a foul on the guy that just body bumped Isaiah Joe out of bounds instead of giving them the ball back, instead of giving South Carolina the ball back? Look, I don't we could go on about how bad the officiating was. It isn't why they lost. I completely agree with that. When you shoot, you know, sub 30% at 3-point range, 7 of 26, you know, when you're 65% at the free throw line, when you're able to take, I mean, they didn't take Witt completely out of the game. I mean, he did have, you know, he had 3 rebounds, a steal, 7 points. He only got one called for one foul, despite being one of the better defenders on this team. But he logged 36 minutes, and the guy, they just, every shot he tried to take was completely contested. He goes 2 of 7. They kind of took him out of the game. Isaiah Joe, who they benched for 4 minutes, but then he comes in and plays 36 nonstop minutes. He still gets 16. You know, he goes 5 of 16 from the floor, 5 of 14 from 3-point range, 1 from 2 from the free throw line. It was a very odd game. No pacing was ever really allowed. I don't feel like we learned anything about either one of these two teams. Arkansas, for as physical as South Carolina played, look, they could afford to do that. That's the other aspect of all this fouling. They could absolutely afford to do that, and Frank Martin knew that. They have way more depth, and with these officials not swallowing their damn whistles, you know, it's going to play against Arkansas. They don't have the depth. They don't have the ability to keep up in this kind of physical game when the officials are so foul happy. So it completely disrupts the game. I guess really that's what we learned. South Carolina has a deeper bench. That's really what this thing came down to. I mean, they had two guys foul out. Is that right? Was it two?
Yeah, they had two. Yeah. Arkansas had one with Desi.
Yep.
There was one thing. I mean, if we learned anything on that last possession, South Carolina, they played rock solid defense. I mean, right on top of them. They didn't let Arkansas breathe on that final possession.
Nope.
And when Arkansas needed to pull something out of the hat and win the ball game, South Carolina stopped them.
That was beautiful because I
was telling Caitlin. Caitlin's like, well, Jacob, what do they do here? I said, you draw up a play for either Isaiah Joe or Mason Jones, ISO them, kind of get them to swirl from the baseline, come back up, find a three, shoot it. And, I mean, it happened both times. And then the next play where they tried to get Isaiah open, they did the same exact thing, this time with Isaiah. And, I mean, Isaiah couldn't get a shot off either. So,
no.
It both plays by Musselman was drawn up beautifully. But South Carolina, obviously, I mean, they defended it just as beautifully, you know.
They might be as good of a defensive team as Arkansas. Yeah. Their ability to defend out on the perimeter, I mean, they were in the face. People in my chat were complaining about Witt, and it's like, did you see how contested every one of his shots are? And when Isaiah Joe, when he gets off to this cold start, Mason Jones, where the hell was he in the first half? So I think Witt took like four shots in the first half, I believe, and I think he was one out of those four. I could be wrong. But they knew then, well, we're going to zero in on Witt. You had Joe on the bench for the first few minutes. Witt, right. You know, teams are recognizing that Witt is a threat. And when you don't have a low presence, when you don't have someone who can post up, when you don't have a big physical body to then dump the ball down underneath to, they're going to key in on your better shooters. They're going to key on guys like Witt, who's got a nasty, well, again, we talk about how ugly the shot is, but his shot percentage at 15 feet, it's got to be north of like 70%. It's incredible. Yeah. This guy's got a hell of a
73.
We'll say that again.
73%.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, 73 from two. Yep.
I mean, that's ridiculous. And they're all mid-range jumpers. That's what he does.
Yeah.
So that's easy to spot for someone as good as Frank Martin, as an elite defensive coach as he is. Of course, we've seen what he can do with scores too. I mean, he's been on both sides of that, offensive and defensive. He's just a really good coach. It's just a matter of time. I think if he were at a bigger school, I think he'd have way more success. But you got to chalk this one up to South Carolina. They played absolutely. They're starting to hit their stride. They are now 12-8, 4-3 in conference. Arkansas falls to 3-4 in conference with a 15-5 overall record. Let me ask you though. You mentioned that final possession. You saw people were criticizing that final possession. They were criticizing like, what the hell was that? What are you trying to do? What was your response to that?
I mean, I thought Arkansas did what they were supposed to do. They drew up ISOs for both their best players, or both offensive players. I mean, you draw up the Mason Jones ISO. He winds from the baseline back up, gets the ball, and, I mean, he dribbles around. I mean, it's what they've done all season long with Mason, is try to get something to happen with him. He drive down low, couldn't get anything, go back up top, couldn't find anything, and the ball went out of bounds, and then Isaiah Joe, they did the same thing, tried to get him in an ISO. I mean, you had your best two offensive players there, and you're trying to get those guys in some way to get them the final shot, win the ball game, or tie it, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't find a way, and I thought that the last play was, I mean, beautifully drawn up. South Carolina, like I said, defended it beautifully. And, I mean, that's what happened. That was my take.
I was taken back, and I know you had already mentioned that before about that final possession, but I was curious what you thought of what people were saying, though. I mean, I mean, it was in our Discord, it was on social media, and I'm thinking, did you watch the same game that we did? Because South Carolina had a response for everything Arkansas did on the offensive end of the ball. Like, it was there was nothing Arkansas could do to break free unless what happens, and I've said this time and time again, why any defense, why any coach decides to switch to the 2-3 soft zone on Arkansas is beyond me. Because when they did that in the first half, they're shutting Arkansas down with that unbelievable Frank Martin man defense where he is, they're in your face. And they switched to a 2-3 soft. I don't know why. I guess they were starting to see maybe there was a mismatch on the floor. I don't know where, but they saw a mismatch maybe, and they decided to go to a 2-3 zone. And then Arkansas opens it up. Isaiah Joe knocks down a three. Shots. Say that again?
They started hitting shots.
They started hitting shots, and you play zone on Joe, he's going – that's a mistake. The guy can hit from anywhere on the floor. And hell, so can Mason Jones at times. I mean, Mason Jones can take advantage of that zone defense. I don't understand why teams do that. But you saw in that final possession, they played tight in your face. Well, those all the really the last several possessions, they played tight man D. From what I saw, and Arkansas struggled. Arkansas struggled, excuse me. Just got done eating dinner. Woofed it down a little too fast. I think that Arkansas did the best they could, like they have every game. This Absolutely. Wasn't an effort thing. I saw some of that, too. There was no effort. Are you kidding me? It's crazy because the sky is now falling. The sky is now falling for everyone who I know that there are some people out there that have a really high basketball IQ, and even some of them are they're panicking a little bit because Arkansas, you know, at home now has lost to Kentucky and South Carolina. And South Carolina, you were favored to beat both these teams, and you come out you're flat, but you still end up losing the game despite playing pretty well and keeping up with South Carolina.
But there's a difference between playing flat without energy and shooting flat, but you're playing with so much energy. And that's what Arkansas's done all season long. I mean, Musselman has squeezed every single ounce of energy into every single game. His players are responding. Arkansas, after being down 6-0, they could have just rolled over. And they didn't.
Well,
they could have rolled over when they were down 11.
Yeah, I was going to say they were down 11 at one point.
And they still continue to fight. And that's the thing. This season is not over. Arkansas is 15-5, 3-4 in conference play. But Musselman keeps continuing to squeeze every single ounce of energy, talent, and everything he has into this team. And it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Just because and they may not be winning games right now, but they learn from this, and they continue to fight for their coach because they know they have enough talent to win ball games, and they believe in the game plan that Coach Musselman gives them every single game that they think they have a shot at winning. And Arkansas has not gone out and lost a game by any more than 7 points this season.
Yeah, Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky, 86-79 was your first loss. That was on the road. And their star player, which, in my opinion, they're a tournament team if he was healthy. Bassey's just a hell of a player. And I still don't really have an update on him, but I know he's out the rest of the season, obviously, with how severe that injury was. But I don't know how that's going to affect his future, which it will. That was a pretty severe injury. But 86-79 there against a damn good Western Kentucky team at that time. You lose by 2 points to the only undefeated team in conference play in LSU, yeah, who's 7-0 with a 16-4 record. Then you lose at home in a just a ridiculous, you know, it was just Kentucky had the bigger and better bodies. But they lost, or Arkansas loses that one by 7 points, 73-66, my bad. And then they go on the road, a place where they don't win often, at Mississippi State, and they lose 77-70 there, and then they lose tonight. Yeah, they've lost three out of their four, and they're getting ready to go on the road to play Alabama. We'll switch over to that really quick. What are your thoughts? I haven't done a whole lot of research myself on Alabama, but what are you thinking there with them? Do you think Bama's only favored at 57% for a home team in conference play? That's not really that high.
And Alabama struggled throughout the season. They've had growing pains. I mean, obviously, they have a new coach with Nate Oates. I mean, there's been struggles at times, but, I mean, then they beat teams that or play with teams that you're like, well, that's weird. I mean, they're continuing to compete with them. Same thing with Arkansas. They're continuing to fight with Musselman. And I will never say Arkansas is going to be out of a game under Eric Musselman until I see Arkansas just get blown out and obliterated. And I don't think it's going to happen. And I'll be surprised when it does happen. But I see Arkansas continuing to compete and go on the road against Alabama and make it a ball game.
You don't like them to win it, though?
I want them to win.
I know,
but I'm not going to – I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they do win. But I'm not going to pick a – I don't know if I could pick anything right now just because they're both – I mean, Alabama, they could come out and – I mean, they lost by – they were down 18 to LSU the other day. And now Arkansas, here they are. They haven't lost a game by more than 7 points here. And people are thinking, oh, the sky's falling. You go down to Tuscaloosa and you win a ball game against a pretty talented Alabama team, and then the perspective changes a little bit, and you think, oh, well, Arkansas may have a chance to win this one.
Well, if they lose, I mean, let's be real, people who are starting to fall off the must bus, and they're not, it's not like there's a whole lot of them. I think they're just a vocal minority, but if you lose this, it doesn't matter if you lose by a point in overtime, they're still going to be upset, and the sky will still be falling. Well, that's generally how it goes. Winning is the cure-all. If you win, then maybe you'll start to kind of win some of those people over. But I don't think it's as bad as social media seems to make us believe that it is. I don't think, if you want my honest opinion, I think there's still a heavy, heavy buy-in for most fans. The sky isn't falling. And look, I sat here and said Arkansas would be lucky to get to 16 wins the preseason when we were doing our breakdown. I said they'd be lucky to get to 16. Look at them. They're one game away from that, and there's still a hell of a lot of basketball left to play. They are exceeding expectations.
And there's tournament left, too.
There's tournament.
SEC tournament. And there's 12 more conference games.
You've still got a lot of – there's so much basketball left to play. If you really believe that Arkansas is out of it, I want to know what your evidence is. I mean, what really are you looking at that says to you, if you've honestly watched as much basketball, Arkansas basketball, as Jacob and I have, then what's your case? Make it to us, because I'm not seeing a legitimate argument just yet, not yet. Now we'll see with those last four games, because I think it's really going to come down to those last four or five games, and then SEC conference play. I think that's what it's going to come down to. But there's not enough evidence here to tell me that they can't make the tournament. Yeah, size, okay, but they've overcome that, guys. They've won 15 games when they've been out rebounded by double digits, have no size, and are still beating teams with more size. They're quicker. They've got long, lengthy guards. They've got two of arguably two top 10 players in the conference, one of them a potential first-round shooter, although he's not living up to those expectations right now, in Isaiah Joe. You've had Witt, who's been a surprise. I don't think anybody expected Witt to do what he's doing. Bailey, who looks like an All-American defender. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Witt's a hell of a defender. I don't know if people have caught Musselman and Zimmerman talking about his ability to defend. That guy is just a great defensive player. Isaiah Joe had a steal last night. He had a couple of plays despite, I still don't think he's 100%, by the way, but despite not being 100%, there were moments where it was like, Isaiah Joe, he's coming around. He's getting into his groove, and he started to play a little bit better on the defensive end. You know, there's too much. I think, I don't know if it's talent or if it's Musselman getting the absolute most out of these guys like you mentioned earlier. But regardless, I do think Musselman's the X factor, and I think because of that, that's what could etch them into the tournament. Now, if you're going to start asking me how deep can they go, I'm not even going to start there. We're going to get there first, and then we'll talk about it. I had people asking me that. I had a DM this morning, as a matter of fact. How far does Arkansas go in the tournament? I'm like, I'm not going there yet. But my take on Alabama, I usually wait till Friday night to give anybody what I think is going to happen, but I will say I don't think Arkansas wins this game. They seem to be trending a little bit south. It's hard to beat Musselman back-to-back, but I don't know. Alabama's playing some really good basketball. Despite, yeah, they lost to LSU on the road, 90-76. Okay, I get that, but before that, they played a pretty damn good game on the road against Kentucky. And then they beat Auburn at home, 83-64. They then beat Mizzou by 14 points. They go on the road and they beat Vanderbilt, and then they beat Kansas State in the Big 12 SEC matchup. 77-74. I know Kansas State was missing a couple players because of that fight the game before with Kansas, but at home,
in the right direction.
At home, they haven't lost a conference game yet, and I think they've only lost one game at home all year, I believe. I could be wrong. I just don't like Arkansas's odds here. What they do well, guys, they score about 83 points a game. This is a top 10 scoring offense in college basketball. They average about 41 rebounds per game. They're top 30 in the country there. Points allowed, their defensive play is terrible. They're one of the worst in the league. And that's really the only place where you feel like Arkansas might have a shot, but Arkansas is not known for great offense. So this could either be an absolute shootout with Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones and Witt finally getting back into a groove because of how poor Alabama plays on defense. Could be a shootout, but then again, we haven't really seen that yet this year because of Arkansas's great defensive play. But I'm leaning towards Alabama in this one, unfortunately. They're just playing really good ball.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and this isn't a loss. I'm still not going to be – now, if they get blown out, let's say they lose this thing by 18, 20-plus points, yeah, okay, I'm going to be a little concerned. But even then, it's going to take a lot to knock me off the Arkansas – postseason NCAA tournament play thrown. Like, it's going to take a lot. You know, then they get to come home and play Auburn. but then you get a little relief. You're on the road against Mizzou, on the road against Tennessee, and you get to host Mississippi State. I think all those games are winnable.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, that's it for the basket for basketball talk, I guess. Still,
I love basketball.
We could, I mean, you know, like what we did, what we used to do with baseball, you know, you remember how much baseball, and I know it's not that time of year, but like, I felt like all of our podcasts,
it's 16 days away.
All of our podcasts were so baseball heavy, and I loved it. Like, I was digging it, you know, and we've grown so much since then. I'm curious what the audience thinks of the baseball talk of Arkansas baseball, Ty and Jacob talking a little baseball. It's going to be fun.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm not going to give a preseason prediction. I still got a lot of studying to do on them.
Oh, yeah, me and you both.
They have the pieces this year to, again, make it to Omaha. It's a beautiful thing.
3 years straight.
I don't think that's ever been done. I know it's been done back-to-back, but I don't think it's ever been done 3 years in a row.
I know one thing. Dave Van Horn feels really good about this team, and anybody who knows him is saying the exact same thing. So, yeah, I think Herstatt and Martin have been making several All-American lists, or at least a couple. Baseball America, D1 Baseball, all those sites are really in love with those two guys. You got some pieces,
and you can't run on Opitz either.
Oh yeah, Opitz.
Opitz, the catcher. Oh, man. Who's, you can't run on him.
No, you can't. Hell of a catcher. I'm kind of surprised he's not getting more recognition, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then he's, again.
I think he made the All-American list for Baseball America as one of the best catchers in the country.
Oh, did he?
There is that, yeah.
Okay, well, I missed that entirely. Do you think, and we'll skip over because we got a little bit of recruiting talk and then we'll end it there, but do you think Connor Nolan ends up taking the Friday night spot? I mean, I think that's the obvious assumption, is that it's Connor Nolan on Friday night, but can he be an ace? Is he someone you feel like you could really rely on?
Well, look, he's going to be so fresh. And I don't think Van Horn, I don't know, I'm not going to speak for him, but I don't think Van Horn's a guy that likes dual sports, likes a guy going and playing two sports. So he's going to be extra ready, I think. I think Connor can be a premier guy. But don't forget about Copps and Wicklander and several other guys out there that could do some damage as well.
I don't know the condition of their bullpen, but I think they're going to be they're going to be deep. The question is you know, are you going to have a stable starting pitcher on your, you know, your Friday night and your Saturday? Are you going to have an ace? Are you going to have someone you can rely on every night? And I think they're going to have a couple of guys, you know, that started last year, and you lost some pieces to the bullpen, to the back end, but that's all right. I think they'll be – I can't wait. Like, I'm excited because I know we're going to start doing more and more research on the baseball team, and that's when it gets really exciting. And we're going to have – I know we're trying to get Phil Elson back on. we've had him on the show before, and that'll be, it'll be good to talk some baseball with him. Let's go to the last topic, and that's just some recruiting news. Arkansas, a certain tight end prospect today, actually tonight, just a little bit before we started recording tonight, had a tight end that was formerly committed to Arkansas who's now going to follow Chad Morris to Auburn. Jacob, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I don't – if anybody thought he was coming to Arkansas, they were living with rose-colored glasses. They were wearing them and wearing them for – I mean, they were into it. And – the thing is, he wasn't ever coming to Arkansas after Chad Morris left. He was so sold on him. And, I mean, obviously, if Chad would have got year three, he would have been a guy that would have been a focal point in this recruiting class, along with Alan Horace. So you lose him, and you hope you have a backup plan. Arkansas had Alan Horace out of Crockett, Texas, committed for the longest time, and then he decommitted. He's probably back. And then they also... a kid out of St. Thomas Aquinas in Florida. His name's Jake Gray. He's a tight end, currently committed to University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Arkansas's giving him a look. Maybe Arkansas gives him a scholarship offer. Maybe get him on National Signing Day. But he's also gaining the attention of Arizona State. So we'll see there what happens with him. But Brandon Frazier, 6'7", 250. He's a big guy, can run really well. But I think Arkansas lost. I think he's talented. But look, Auburn only threw the tight end only had three receptions this past season at Auburn. So obviously, the tight end isn't very valuable at Auburn.
That's what was weird. I found that very bizarre when you said that. You and I were talking about that a little while back, and you said Auburn had only targeted, or tight end only had a small handful of catches, and then you got Frazier, who's going to follow Chad over there. Who also, by the way, got his fourth star on 24/7 Sports, by the way, bumped up quite a bit. And this was before he committed to Auburn, but it is, I don't know. Look, he's 6'7". He's really athletic for that size. You know, they know what they're doing at 24/7, I guess. But it's just strange to me that he would go somewhere where Gus Malzahn didn't really have a high value on tight ends. Maybe there's something more to that. Maybe they had some injuries or the quarterback just didn't favor throwing to their check downs. Or maybe that's just the style of their offense. And maybe they're going to change that. I don't know under Chad.
The thing is, though, I mean, Auburn's used the tight ends of more of a H-back. You think of the classic great teams under Gus Malzahn.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best premier tight ends was Philip Lutzenkirchen, who is considered an H-back.
Yeah.
But most of the tight ends that have success in the Gus Malzahn offense are 6'3 or shorter.
Yeah. This is going to be that's your typical size of an H-back. This is going to be a monster. Yeah. This is going to be a left tackle at H-back. I mean, my God, 6'7". Holy cow.
Right. Yeah. That's weird. That's very weird. But we also know that Kendall Briles has a lot to offer in his offense.
That's true, too.
Him choosing Chad Morris is obviously his family and himself. He felt comfortable with Chad Morris. I think that's what's going on here.
Very true.
I can't blame him. Yeah. I don't blame him for going there. Obviously, they're coming off a 9-3 season, off an Iron Bowl victory. And obviously, Auburn is someplace you want to go to. But Arkansas, they don't have they're 2-10, coming off back-to-back 2-10 seasons. This is going to be hard to recruit. It's going to be a hole that you're going to have to dig out of, but there's more target out there that you can get. And yeah. Arkansas can raise their recruiting ranking getting these guys.
Very true.
A la Malik Hornsby.
Malik Hornsby, who just got crystal balled by Danny West last night to Arkansas. And Baylor, I had a picture sent to me today, as a matter of fact. Baylor, they're recruiting people over there, also believe that Arkansas is going to get him. There were some questions as to whether or not, and I don't know, I can't believe what I read, but this is from a poster at Baylor, someone who runs their site over there, one of those recruiting sites, and he said that Baylor may not have been super interested anymore because, and I don't know if that's because he was leaning so heavily towards Arkansas and maybe they kind of withdrew a little bit, but something's going on there. I think Arkansas is starting to pull away with it, but you know, you never know until signing day what happens, but I am starting to believe that he ends up being a hog which is huge for this class and for people who really value star power. And there's nothing wrong with that. Look, it speaks – the more stars – I mean, you look at some of the most successful programs that are continuously preseason ranked and are going to the playoffs or they're going to big bowl games. They look at their recruiting. It's ridiculous how stacked some of these teams are, and they're just able to repeat every year, and they're able to reload and restock up. And Arkansas is in a position where they're just trying to get bodies. And Hornsby would be a great addition to this class. But, yeah, he was crystal balled by Danny West at hogsports.com, 24/7 sports, to Arkansas.
It's a big deal.
What do you? I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but you know there's another quarterback they have offered out in C.J. Dixon.
Oh yeah, we talked about that this past Sunday.
Did we?
Man, I really like him. And
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I wanted C.J. Dixon. I like both of those guys. They're both athletic freaks, and you can see what kind of quarterback that Sam Pittman and Briles want. Just by seeing the athleticism that they're trying to recruit a quarterback for this year and the years to come. It's going to be a fun time.
It really is.
If they can get this thing going.
If Briles is even half the coordinator we think that he is, and you're going to have Felipe Franks, and Felipe Franks, who obviously transferred in, for those of you living under a rock and only listen to us, thank you, by the way, for that. But, you know, I don't know, get out from underneath the rock maybe, but he's transferring in from Florida. Rumor is he could have 2 years of eligibility if he files. So explain that. He can file at the end of this season for another year. That's how it works, right?
That's correct. Yeah, because if you think about the last two guys that Arkansas has had, Kevin Richardson and the running back Cody Walker, both of those guys, he was grandpa. I mean, he was there for 10 years.
He had gray hair.
Yeah, he did. He was Papa. But, you know, those guys, they applied for the extra year of eligibility after their fifth year was stopped by injury. And that's what happens there. You go out there and you apply for it and you see if it's granted or not. Same way with your transfer rules. You know, if you want to get immediate playing time and be immediately eligible, you got to go through that process. It could take a minute. Or it could take weeks, like the whole thing with Kevin Richardson did. I mean, he was they approved him within weeks. So it just depends on what you have and who you are and what program you're at. To know if you get that extra year.
Well, I think they need it. I do. I think Felipe Franks, I think he's going to need a couple of years here. And not just for him, but for Arkansas, for Briles,
for us,
and for those younger quarterbacks. I think they do need it a couple more years of getting it figured out on campus and getting it figured out with this program and what they want to do here. And it can only benefit them. The question is whether or not they're going to be patient. And that's what kind of worries me a little bit. Also, some really late news here, really quick news. It's not late. I think I've talked about it a couple times. But JT Towers, middle linebacker out of Joe T. Robinson. By the way, the talent that school is pushing out, they're about to be the next one. They're like Warren. When Warren pushing out all the talent, it's ridiculous. But this guy, his recruiting started to blow up just a little bit. He was offered really late. I think it was at Utah. Yeah, it was Utah. Utah offered him on January 23rd, and he declined to even go on a visit there. He is all hog, and that school had several 2021 prospects on campus this last weekend as well. Joe T. Robinson is stacked, y'all. Keep an eye on that program on that high school out of Little Rock, Arkansas. So I think that's going to do it, Jacob. Is there anything else you wanted to add? Did we leave anything out?
I don't think so, man. I think we covered everything. That was a really good show. Fun. I love recruiting. I love basketball. So anytime I get to talk about those two things, I mean, you gotta get me on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love having you on. Love having Porter on. Unfortunately, he was unable to make the show. Sometimes, you know, we all have lives, and sometimes it's hard to get us all three on the same page, you know, the same availability. Oh, yeah. Not the same. We're all on the same page, but all three of us have the same availability. Sometimes it can be tricky, but shout out to Porter, our producer. And of all you guys that listen and download, we really do appreciate you. Please share the content if you can. Copy and paste the link to this podcast anywhere you can on social media. Feel free to join our Discord. We've got offers out everywhere. If you don't have one, if you don't have a link, offers. I'm talking like we're college coaches here out offering prospects. You are. You're prospects to us. We want you to come and be a part of the team. That's what we want you to do here at the HTP. So send us an invite or a friend's invite, whatever. Follow us on Twitter. Ask for the Discord link, and we'll get it to you. And you can come be a part of the HTP Discord. It's really fun. Some really good information shared. And we're all, you know, it's just a close-knit community. It's pretty fun. So, all right, that's it. Thank you guys so much. Oh, did you have something else you wanted to add?
All our content is F-R-E-E-F-R-E.
Free. Free, free, free. Free, free, free. It's the best thing in the world. So that's going to do it. Thank you guys again. Remember to give us some star power. We love you. Woo Pig Suey. Go Hawks.
Woo Pig.